From cowboys to shrimpers, astronauts to farmers, and roughnecks to loggers, for true Texans, there's only one place to celebrate the Lone Star State. That's right here with Pratt on Texas.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis without a donor or management-controlled muzzle or leash. We're loaded up today, my friends, so be prepared to listen fast. Our Lone Star story of the day has several stories in it, the typical stench of local government stories. One of them is that the trial and the case against the city of Amarillo is underway. This is the trial over the way they've the public said no in a bond issue on redoing the Civic Center, and they just found a way to do it anyway. Our Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by our friends at Allied Compliance Services. If you need drug and alcohol testing in your business or institution, they'll help you. And truckers and fleet owners, I mean, they are your go-to source for a very long time in dealing with your DOT testing requirements. Learn more. Find the best in compliance at alliedcompliance.com. A stack of Second Amendment stories today. A SCOTUS update on one of the cases I talked about yesterday, Supreme Court of the U.S. update. For those of you not into the acronyms, the geeky acronyms, we've got polling and other campaign news, and you can listen to the show anywhere, anytime, whenever it fits your schedule. Get the podcast of today's show and long-form interviews at PrattOnTexas.com or on all the major podcast platforms, whether it's Apple or Amazon or Google or iHeartRadio, you name it, we're there, so you can find it pretty much anywhere. Let's get on with it. The Texas State Historian has been reappointed by the governor, Monty Monroe. Been appointed for another term through 2024. Dr. Monroe is the archivist of the Southwest Collection and on the faculty at Texas Tech University. SpaceX successfully launched astronauts to the International Space Station this morning. Our friend Bob Zimmerman at BehindTheBlack.com, the source for all things space and science related, said the capsule Endurance is making its second flight. It was SpaceX's eighth manned launch. First stage making its first flight, landed successfully on the drone ship in the Atlantic. That's the Falcon 9. And it was the first new first stage launch since May, and only the second this year. All other launches were completed using their existing fleet of reusable boosters. They also continue to hold the pattern of last year for maintaining that fleet by adding two boosters each year. Bob points out that this achievement's now becoming as routine as SpaceX unmanned launches proves the company's success. And SpaceX did it in less than a decade, something NASA with its government-built shuttle was never able to accomplish. And American private enterprise on launches now leads China 63-41 in the national rankings, and the entire world combined 63-61. He witnessed Roger Maris's 61st home run in Yankee Stadium. In Yankee Stadium, that's right. Then he saw last night at Globe Life Field in Dallas, Aaron Judge's 62nd home run, the record breaker. The Marston family, John Marston, 79 years old, WFAA reports, had on his glove. He'd seen it before. He said, when Maris hit his 61st, I was in right field. I was under an overhang. I saw the ball but didn't think it was a home run. Then I saw people about 10 rows in front of me scrambling. He was 18 when he witnessed Roger Maris's long-standing American League record. And he was born in New York. He now lives outside Austin. He was as a lifelong Yankees fan, he was at the game. And he saw the record breaker again. He said, it doesn't seem like a big deal. Maybe because I'm almost 80 years old. He wasn't even impressed with Judge's record-breaking hit. He said it was not one of Judge's better home runs, but it was good enough. But he was there. He saw both records. Wow. Talk about a long-standing record broken in the Rangers game last night by another Yankee hitter. USAA, the big military-centered insurance company, has lost again. They lose a lot of these cases, it seems. I don't know. I get a lot out of the San Antonio paper and media about them. They're on the hook for $10 million in punitive damages. Finally, after a Mississippi jury ruled against it in a 14-year-old lawsuit filed by a husband and wife who lost their home in Hurricane Katrina. They had already had one trial over this, and I guess USAA didn't want to pay or something. I'm not sure on all the damages. They had appealed and everything. It went back to trial court, and they had paid $1.5 million from the original verdict in 2013. Lawyer says that they think this is the last outstanding case related to insurance coverage for homes damaged by Hurricane Katrina along Mississippi's Gulf Coast, taking this long, and USAA found liable again for big punitive damages in a second trial in this case. Alamo Heights, that's in San Antonio, the Express News reporting that an ex-staffer's been accused of embezzling about $1.7 million from Sage Architecture. It's a big architecture firm in the Alamo City. And it's kind of funny that the wife and husband have been putting photographs of all their exotic vacations and luxury stuff and everything on social media. Well, she worked as Sarah Lingle as a bookkeeper and office manager there for almost 5 years. And they're saying that she was using their debit card and other things, stole a lot, including forging checks. University of Texas Permian Basin women's soccer coach suspended amid investigation. KMID in Midland reporting that Carla Tejas, the soccer coach there at UTPB, has got trouble. She's 28 years old. She had a traffic stop in September going real fast down Grandview Avenue in a 40-mile-an-hour zone. They said she was going 56, alleged. But police that said she smelled of alcohol and all that. Well, that's not all there is to this. Students had come forward with problems with this person too, saying she'd let ineligible players been on the team to play remain on the team to play games. Alleged a lot of NCAA violations. They say she violated their civil rights and said they chose to come forward anonymously for fear of retaliation. The group cited academic concerns in their complaint. But here's where you really get to the weird part of this story, and I didn't get that at KMID. I got it out of the San Antonio Express News story. Among the allegations against Coach Tejas included her asking players to pay her bail after her September 11th arrest, as well as kissing members of the men's soccer team and providing alcohol to players and encouraging her players to injure opponents. Asked the players allegedly to pay her bail. Sad story out of the Panhandle. Dalhart Volunteer Fire Department announcing via their Facebook page today that it's with hearts full of sadness and grief that we inform you last night, Dalhart Volunteer Fire Department lost two of our own in a vehicle accident while returning to station from a call earlier in the night. Firefighter Brendan Torres and Fire Chief Curtis Brown were involved in a motor vehicle accident with the semi-truck. Chief Brown and Firefighter Torres were pronounced dead at the scene. Sad story there. Texas to execute an inmate. He's the one that sued over being able to have your pastor or your minister touch you in the execution chamber. And Supreme Court ruled in his favor. He's going to be able to have his pastor lay hands on him. That should be happening this evening in Huntsville. He is John Henry Ramirez, supposed to be executed at 6 o'clock. This guy, it's murder, you know, terrible murder stuff at stabbing death in Pablo Castro in Corpus Christi. San Angelo police officer's been arrested on a shoplifting charge. Jason Zapata, 36, detained at a Walmart, taken to Tom Green County Detention Center, and so he's on administrative leave as the investigation continues. And the inmate, at least last I checked midday today, the inmate who escaped the Mitchell County Jail remains at large. Pedro Martinez, DPS, said there had been no sightings reported in the last 12 hours. That was their morning report. How about this, reported by the Epoch Times, a Texas man told police last month he was injured in a suspected bomb threat at Northeastern University. Now, this isn't in Texas, but it's a tech guy from San Antonio, has been arrested and charged with allegedly staging a hoax explosion and providing false and misleading info to authorities. According to the DOJ, Jason Duheim, 45, of San Antonio, worked at the university as a new technology manager and director of the Immersive Media Lab. Claimed a bomb went off and all that. They couldn't find any evidence of it. And weird. It's just strange that the things people do or allegedly do. Much more ahead on Pratton, Texas.
Wish to comment on a story? Send an email. Visit the contact page at prattontexas.com or join the listener club and get that direct to Pratt email address.
If you're sick to death of the mainstream news, we invite you to check out 21st Century Watch magazine. We cover developments we have no choice but to watch from a biblical perspective. Not only is it priceless, it's free. Call 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. That's 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. A little hope would be nice.
Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. Specialty Trucks of Lubbock finds good trucks and reconditions them to be ready to work for you and your business. Mike and Jason have repeat customers from all over the country, even Alaska. Call 806-687-1115 to get Mike and Jason working for you. Visit specialtytrucksoflubbock.com and see their inventory. Solve problems and save money with Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. specialtytrucksoflubbock.com.
If you're self-employed, you have a special health insurance problem. Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
I'm trying to help the individual out there who makes too much to qualify for any help, any subsidy or benefits from the government towards their health insurance, but does not have the income to pay the incredibly high premiums we find if you're buying your insurance individually.
You can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. HurleyBenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y Benefits.com.
Native Texan, or just got here as soon as you could. Welcome to Pratt on Texas. Here's your host, Robert Pratt.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. Over the years, I've given you all kinds of examples of how PolitiFact and the fact checkers related to it just outright lie or connive, use all kinds of ill logic to claim the opposite of what's true. There's just such a perfect example of this today regarding Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida and this horrible, deadly hurricane stuff. Twitchy reports it really well. Said, what's the worst respected fact-checking outfit, and why is it PolitiFact? Seriously, PolitiFact bleeps. They've gone from the occasional cringe-inducing eye-roll-worthy fact-check to the chronic cringe-inducing eye-roll-worthy fact-check. And this is what they do all the time. They're literally anti-fact-check is what Sarah writes at Twitchy. A good example of this. Here's one of their latest. Contrary to Florida Governor Ron DeSantis' claim, Lee County's Cayo Costa appeared in the forecast zone on each advisory issued by the National Hurricane Center on September 25th, 3 days before Hurricane Ian made landfall on the island. DeSantis earned a mostly false rating from PolitiFact, which, by the way, is the one that most of your newspapers run. Despite his claim being mostly false at all, here's what he actually said. DeSantis said that 72 hours before Hurricane Ian made landfall, Lee County wasn't, quote, even in the cone, end quote. Most of Lee County was not within Hurricane Ian's forecasted path 72 hours before landfall. But one of the county's little barrier islands, Cayo Costa, appeared inside the forecast zone on each of the eight advisories from the National Hurricane Center. Almost no people there. So there's an element of truth in that most of Lee County was not. In other words, where everybody lives was not in the forecasted center of the storm. But one of the country's little barrier islands was, and focusing on the cone itself downplays the impacts of a storm as large as Ian anyway. And so what he should have been rated was mostly true. But of course, they did it. One to J.D. Vance and others, too. It's just crazy, these folks. By the way, in 1907, on the 5th of October, Texas Governor Alan Shivers was born in Lufkin. He was known for defending Texas claims to the Tidelands against the feds in 1953 and allowing women on juries in 1955. And he appeared in some pretty neat movies of the time in cameo appearances. It's also the day in 1889 that Liberal Hall, the home of the Religious and Benevolent Association, burned to the ground. They were what you call a bunch of freethinkers, and that term at the time tended to mean agnostic and doesn't believe in God and everything else. And the association faded away within a year, but I don't know if somebody burned their hall down or what. All right, our look at Texas history, sponsored by our good friends at USA Investigations. If you need employment background checks, a lot of liability judgments being given in that, go talk to them. They have an impressive team. You can learn all about them, all about their impressive team, and I mean it is impressive, at usainvestigations.net, .net, usainvestigations.net. They sponsor our look at Texas history every day here on the program. Judge reinstates subpoenas, orders Texas AG Ken Paxton to testify in abortion lawsuit. That's the headline in the Austin American Statesman. It's a follow-up to that story where they tried to serve him at his house, and he didn't want to deal with people coming to his private home in his official capacity. There's really not much to this story. It's this lawsuit that the pro-abortion people filed in a federal court trying to say that they're under threat of arrest based on Texas law, and that Paxton threatened them, and in the courts trying to determine, well, are they really truly under threat or not? But the fact is, Texas law is on the books, and Paxton vowed to rigorously pursue civil penalties of at least $100,000 and assist in the criminal prosecution of those who perform or induce an abortion. And it's really, this is a case over his freedom of speech, but their question, they've got a real important question of law, which is, does that mean that they then are under threat? And if they are, do they now have standing to challenge that particular part of the law in, like, going out of state? Could they be prosecuted for that? It's really not that the AG had been trying to not testify at this point in this case, and now the judge originally said, no, you don't have to, and now he's reversed and said you have to, and it's just part of that ongoing saga that's going to just keep on going because there are so many people dedicated to the idea that innocent human life should be snuffed out, just what Satan would go along with, just for the convenience of the people who created them. I talked a lot yesterday about these voting rights lawsuits, and one of the big ones I told you was the Alabama case, and that was heard at the Supreme Court yesterday, as I told you it would be. The Amy Howe, who I use to follow, you can get her stuff at SCOTUS blog, but before it's there, she puts it on her own website, which is Howe on the Court. Conservative justices seem poised to uphold Alabama's redistricting plan and Voting Rights Act challenge. This has to do with these ridiculously created majority-minority districts and how absolutely far out you have to go to create these things, creating monstrous looking districts just to make a minority-majority district. And it's all goes back to a 1986 decision in Thornburg versus Gingles, and a lot of argument and questioning from the justices of the attorneys involved in the case. And, of course, the Biden administration's, you know, arguing for this takeover of state responsibility. But Howe's perception is that the court seems like they may decide in favor of Alabama on this case. It's really hard to tell, though, and it may be a very narrow ruling or it could be a very broad ruling. Two die at Harris County Jail as critics blame unsafe conditions for highest death toll in years. They're really full. They're more than 10,000 jail population highest. It's been in 11 years, and it's the same old don't lock anybody up people that are all mad about it. Doesn't look like anybody did anything wrong. Looks like two natural deaths in both cases. People were given medical aid and they just passed away. You've got over 10,000 people in that massive, sprawling Harris County jail facility. You're going to have the fact that you hadn't had a lot more people just naturally dying there is almost surprising. So, typical stuff. Okay, I'll set this aside. I'm going to go over to some of our other stories. I'm trying to decide which stack to start in right now. I think what I'll do is get to my Second Amendment stack. I've got three stories in there today. Supreme Court orders lower court to reconsider Massachusetts gun control law, and this follows the new precedents in the Bruen decision against New York. And somebody in Massachusetts has denied purchasing a firearm because he was, I think, convicted for having one. In other words, carrying one. He never committed any other crime. He just carried one earlier. But since that decision, and the court said you can't, it's not a second-class right, and states can't deny people that right. The court has told the U.S. District Court in Massachusetts that found that the Massachusetts law constitutional under the Second Amendment, told them to go back and look at it again. That is a good move. Federal judge allows lawsuit to exempt Texas-made suppressors from federal law to move forward. That's not a win yet, but my good friend Tony McDonald, good acquaintance Tony McDonald, been on the show. He's the legal counsel for several plaintiffs, and you'll remember the legislature passed this law and had certain things that have to happen, and it include requiring the attorney general to argue on behalf of the law for Texas. And this is a big win. It doesn't give you a win in the case, but it's a big win in front of federal judge Mark Pittman to rule against a motion to dismiss the case, and so it lets the lawsuit move forward. Another big Second Amendment story out to Just the News reporting, firearms dealers now required to provide buyers' addresses to the feds for denied transactions. Even if you didn't commit a crime, you didn't do anything wrong, whatever, for whatever reason in the Nix deal, It's part of one of these big left-wing bills that passed. They had language in there that lets the that requires all licensed firearm dealers to submit the names and addresses of anyone who was denied through the NICS background check. Well, the FBI, of course, is going overboard on this and asking for even more. I'll give you details in a moment.
Keep that six-shooter at your side. Front on Texas, we'll be right back after this.
Laugh if you must, but friends know that I had a hard time finding words to express how positive my experience was going to the dentist. Not just any dentist, but Dr. Sylvia Suniga of Dental Care. Money matters too, and it cost us less than half of my lowest quote at home to visit Dr. Suniga at Dental Care in Costa Rica. That included a top hotel for a week, fancy dinners, airfare for both Isabel and me, and a private driver, and much more dental work than those local quotes covered. In fact, I had it all done. No wonder my Lubbock neighbor had been using her for his dental work for years. The work was the best I've ever had, the attention to detail more than you'll get here. If you have expensive dental challenges or just need crowns or cosmetic work or implants, learn more about Dr. Sylvia Suniga and Dental Care by clicking the banner at prattontexas.com. See Sylvia's beautiful face and click the banner at my website, prattontexas.com. Finally, having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.
It's bad enough to have your life upended financially, even worse with injury due to accident. Have you thought about what happens when the responsible party doesn't step up to make your loss whole? When you've been injured, the Liggett Law Group will work for you with integrity, advocacy, and results. Call Ted Liggett, the heavy hitter, at 806-744-HURT or visit LiggettLawGroup.com. Don't be cheated. Call Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group.
If you want shallow chit-chat, dead air, and amateur analysis, you're in the wrong place. This is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, and here's your prepared host, Robert Pratt.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. Last segment already had two other Second Amendment stories out in the news today. This one written by Aaron Kliegman at Just the News late last night. It's part of a sweeping change that has gun rights groups alarmed. Federally licensed firearm dealers, FFLs, are now required to provide the FBI with the personal addresses of individuals whose attempted purchases were denied. Now remember, it doesn't mean you've broken a law or anything. Other people end up on these lists all the time, just like the no-fly list. It could be for anything. But this is kind of bad. In turn, the FBI must now provide details of the failed transactions, not only those denied, but also those just delayed, and the personal information of the rejected individuals to local law enforcement, raising fears of greater government infringement. Yeah, this is another way to try to chill people obtaining a firearm legally with a background check. Changes were quietly implemented last week by the FBI's National Instant Criminal Background Check System, the NICS system, to comply with the new federal law. This language in here was part of the Vote Violence Against Women Act Reauthorization Act. And it requires mandates the FBI's NICS section alert state and local law enforcement of all denied attempts to purchase a firearm within 24 hours. Stated purpose of the bill is to stop criminals and prevent gun crimes before they happen. You know, future crime BS. Gun Owners of America says the NICS Denial Notification Act of 2022 requires the FBI NICS section to notify state, local, or tribal law enforcement of all FBI NICS denied transactions within 24 hours. Oh, this is the FBI responding to Gun Owners of America. This is their words. The FBI must provide notification to law enforcement based upon the location of the FFL and, if different, the purchaser's address. Email explained FFLs must provide the addresses of purchasers to the feds. Previously, firearms dealers were only required to provide the state of residence of a customer rather than their full address in the event of a delay or a denial. And Michael Cargill at Central Texas Gun Workers said the NICS process was never intended to hinder the ability of law-abiding firearms customers by requiring the forced collection of unnecessary personal consumer data in bulk. Neither the ATF nor the FBI can act beyond the authority of Congress and violate the Constitution by furthering the ultimate goal of creating an illegal firearms owner database. Gun rights advocates have noted the new law, though, that the FBI is hanging its hat on here, doesn't actually say they have to report the addresses of people who had a delay in the NICS. In other words, all it did, the feds couldn't get it processed quickly enough, so there was a delay. Now they're getting your address, even if you're approved. In other words, there's nothing wrong against you. What the law actually says and how FFLs are being told they must implement it are totally different, said Attorney Emily Taylor. The implementation is far broader than the law itself, which is exactly what we would expect from these leftists. And, of course, very, very bad news for gun owners, because who wants their address shot out to local law enforcement just because you're trying to buy a gun? Think about that. These delays happen for all kinds of reasons. It didn't mean you weren't approved or anything. Now they're going to be required to send your address over to the locals to tell them you were trying to buy a gun. There are a lot of problems with this. So three big Second Amendment stories in the stack today. In the stench of local government stack, wrong tool, wrong purpose, wrong time, trial on Amarillo's $260 million debt maneuver begins. Started yesterday. Brad Johnson at the Texan.news had a good piece. KVII Television in Amarillo had a good piece. Opening statements held in Amarillo Civic Center lawsuit. I think Brad summed it up pretty well. Opposing counsels presented their opening arguments summarizing the respective cases. The plaintiff's attorneys summarized their argument, quote, the city used the wrong tool for the wrong purpose at the wrong time. This case centers on the secret deliberative process done behind closed doors to circumvent voter approval. The city's attorneys countered that what's important is only whether the required steps were followed. Quote, this case is not about whether you agree with the issuance of a tax anticipation note, Proposition A, or the political positions on this, their attorney stated. It's about whether the issuance was valid. Who knows? Obviously, the plaintiffs contend open meetings laws were broken and that the spirit of the law, was broken. And pretty well everybody agrees with that. In fact, after initially, he writes, remaining neutral, the Office of Attorney General cannonballed into the case, appearing to side with Fairley, the plaintiff. Something doesn't feel right here, quote, an attorney stated during open argument. Something feels amiss about what the city's doing here and how it is manipulating statutes to fund this project. It appears to be thwarting the will of the voters and the spirit of how the legislature intended for the statute to be used. We've reported on this in the past. I'm not going to replow that field today. But that's not what these tax anticipation notes were meant to be for. They're just a cash flow thing. If you got taxes coming in, but you're short on cash, you need to meet payroll or some kind of emergency expense. They were never intended to let you go into debt to redo and build civic centers and things. And Amarillo's done it after the people, their leadership did it, after the people said no resoundingly. Now, the trial's going on today. They think it'll wrap up tomorrow on Thursday before a judge, and I believe it is being argued before a judge instead of before a jury. And I've got another stench of local government story out of the Austin American Statesman. $90 million budget for Austin agency leading Project Connect. I don't know. Agency leading Project Connect draws. Oh, okay. The budget. The headline's bad. It's bad grammar. Anyway. Let me give you the story by Sarah Ash. In just its second budget cycle, the Austin Transit Partnership, the agency created to manage Austin's giant Project Connect transportation plan, is facing its, these giant public transportation boondoggle plans, is facing questions from its own board members about how it plans to spend millions of taxpayer dollars. It's one of these, like they did in Abilene for that hotel. They created an independent local government corporation. And this thing is decades long, multi-billion. Get this. One of the board members, Tony Elkins, says the budget's too big. All you got to do is hear this part. They're supposed to be leading the plan for this massively expensive long-term trains and all kinds of other public transportation deal in Austin, right? Listen to this thing. This is the little separate entity created, which is always seems to always be the case. It just becomes a place for insiders to get paid big salaries and work forever without really ever having to do anything. The budget is for this year, next year they're proposing, is $90.6 million, split three ways. $35 million is for anti-displacement investment to protect vulnerable communities from being priced out of their neighborhoods. Now, that just sounds ridiculous. I don't even know how government could do that. $20 million being put in a reserve fund to spend on future capital projects for transit, and $35.6 million for operating expenses. In other words, they're not building hardly anything yet, and they're going to spend $35.6 million on all their salaries and consultants. There's a whole bit in this story about all the consultants they're hiring. Out of the $90 million budget, over $90 million and a half dollar budget, only $20 million is actually going to anything to do with building anything. And that's the point. And they go into the details in this story. kudos to the Statesman for covering it. A lot of details, but I just, it's just, you got a whole bunch of people making 31 people in that huge staff making over $100,000, eight being paid over $200,000 a year. And here's another one, a stench of local government. The Dallas Morning News picking up on a report out of the Fort Worth Report. Fort Worth City Manager David Cook is publicly reprimanded yesterday for taking a trip to Colorado on a private plane with the billionaire Ed and Sasha Bass couple, who say that, look, they got good reason. I don't think they were doing anything bad. It had to do with a big thing. And they run and own Sundance Square, and the city's got a lot going on with that. And the mayor and everybody said that Cook's going to remain city manager, but he showed questionable judgment, exercised poor communication to the public, and that he will now have to recuse from anything to do with Sundance Square in downtown Fort Worth. Bass said, look, he's on this board and stuff, and it was a promotion, and the city was promoting this thing, and they went to and all that. But nevertheless, it's just more of the stench of local government. Of course these guys go along with the plans of these folks that fly them around in private jets and take them to exclusive places, no matter what it is. And I think the council's right. It doesn't pass the smell test. We'll be back in a moment.
He's only silent during the breaks. Pratt's back after this.
There is a delicious treasure in Abilene not to be missed. It's Bell's Chicken Dinner House, where homemade, fresh, mouthwatering fried chicken and chicken fried steak, fabulous veggies, served family style with yeast rolls, and unbeatable homemade desserts are created for your dining pleasure. Bell's Chicken Dinner House, an Abilene treasure, is open to serve you lunch and dinner Thursday through Saturday and open Sunday for that perfect traditional after church lunch. Enjoy Bell's Chicken Dinner House Thursday through Sunday at Ambler and the Winters Freeway in Abilene.
Hey now, I'm Robert Campbell. My wife and I own Campbell Containers, and we've been in business over 14 years. We sell and rent shipping containers here in Abilene and the big country. We sell used and new 20 and 40 foot containers. We also rent containers if you need a little extra storage space for the short term. Stop by our yard on I-20 just east of Abilene at exit 297. Each one for sale will have a little orange price tag on the door. Or check us out at CampbellContainers.com.
At Thacker, every piece of jewelry represents a moment in time worth celebrating.
But when the jewelry leaves our store, that's when the real story begins. Her engagement ring will tell the story of the loving relationship that you share.
Your wedding band tells the story of the perfect day when you two came together. I'm blessed to be in a business where every piece of jewelry that leaves our store goes on to tell a beautiful story. We hope you'll start your story with Thacker's.
It's the show everyone listens to, even if they don't admit it. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. WFAA and their partner, whoever their partner is, poll that they put some more stuff out on it last night from their big poll. They say that majority of likely Texas Hispanic voters support O'Rourke over Abbott. 51% of likely Texas Hispanic voters intend to vote for O'Rourke. Meanwhile, 39% said they'll vote for Abbott. You see a real big split when you get to women and men, just like you do across the country, with women being lefty liberals. Hispanic women is 54% for Beto Poncho, the fake Hispanic, to 33% for Abbott. But with Hispanic men, it's 48%. For O'Rourke and 45% for Abbott. It says O'Rourke holds a full 2-to-1 advantage over Abbott when it comes to Gen Z, millennial, and millennial Hispanics, 56-28. The problem is those people vote in very low numbers. Most voters are age 55 and older, and even the largest cohort is going to be 65 and older. And so there you go. In fact, you look at that. Abbott leads among Texas Hispanic voters who fit into the baby boomer. In other words, you're older now. Are in silent generation demographics, besting O'Rourke 48 to 45. Well, good for Republicans, because despite the beginning of the story that points out how Texas Hispanics are now 40.2% of the population, while white Texans are 39.4%, oh, of course, it's always going to happen. The big Democrat takeover because of Hispanics. No, fact is, most people don't vote until they're older, and amongst Hispanics, Republicans are leading who are older, and people get older. Some of the youngsters will remain liberals, but other people get tired of paying taxes. They learn all the lies. They learn that all this stuff Beto talks about is just empty rhetoric and all the other Democrats, and they change their behavior. And then how about this one for the constant typical left-wing front groups trying to muck up the elections? Taylor Goldenstein, writing for the Express News, group sues Bexar County over closing polling places. A progressive nonprofit group is suing. This is a left-wing group. Texas Organizing Project is filing state district court. They want a court order to increase the number of polling places in Bexar County to 388. Now listen to this line. Bexar County moved to a countywide polling place system. In other words, they went to these vote centers. So you can vote anywhere. You don't have to have it in your neighborhood or whatever. You can vote anywhere, just like we were the pioneer in that in Lubbock County. But the Texas Civil Rights Project, they've sued over the issue before, and that's who's representing the Texas Organizing Project, a left-wing group. And they say the law says you have to have so many based on the law says no less than 50% of the number of precinct polling places that would otherwise be located in the county for that election. Bexar County's election administrator saying, look, they've got this wrong because the baseline is wrong. And they're right on that. I have run elections for way back before all this kind of stuff, and I know what the rules are. And the fact is, just because you have 776 precincts in the county doesn't mean you would have an election polling place in all of those. I can tell you in my county, we used to have quite a few precincts that had no voters in them. In fact, the dump, the where your trash goes, used to be divided into two precincts. There are no people there. And that has to do with the way things have to be drawn and how you have to have lines where, you know, other type of office holders. I don't want to get into why. There are reasons for that that aren't flippant or silly. And that's kind of the point here. These groups are arguing, well, there's got to be all these other votes. What was the point? The whole point of these super precincts, vote centers, was so we didn't have to spend so much money on equipment when the feds through HAVA made us buy all this electronic stuff so that it met extremely heightened Americans with Disability Act rules. That's why we have the electronic stuff. Funny how I almost never see that referred to in any of these stories because I don't think these people know. But the idea of vote centers was so that we reduced having to buy so much stuff and we could just make very convenient big places. If you work in one side of town, you don't have to worry about getting over there to vote before you go to work or get home early to vote in time and all that stuff. But now what they just keep pushing us to do is have as many of these vote centers just about as we would have had regular voting precincts. And it's just crazy. And there's just something about the left that they think, I know their only hope in elections in lots of places, including in Texas, is turnout of very irregular or first-time voters. In other words, their hopes, their whole ideology depends upon stupid, ignorant people who don't bother to care at all and pay any attention. That's why they want same-day registration. People wouldn't even bother to register to vote. They have to turn those people out because that's how backwards and nasty and ridiculous is their political platform. But sometimes you just scratch it. Is this worth a lawsuit in Bexar County? It's already a Democrat county. There's just something about these folks that it's because they're permanent revolutionaries and they've always got to be fighting battles or else they're not right with Karl Marx, really, is what it's about. Oh, and back to LULAC. You know, they put out that $5,000 reward to try to put a bounty on a private citizen to find this woman that they think, they claim violated law. There's no evidence she violated any law. The New York Times outed the identity of this 43-year-old Perla Haiti Huerta. They claim misled all these people to get on the plane in San Antonio and go to Martha's Vineyard. LULAC isn't even ashamed of their $5,000 reward to go after a private citizen for whom there's no evidence put out there yet that any law was broken. They've doubled the reward to $10,000. Person in Border Patrol custody dies after shooting at the Isleta station in East El Paso. KVIA in El Paso reporting that this happened yesterday afternoon right in the customs deal. And the detainee who was shot has died. New Hampshire National Guard military police units to deploy to Texas-Mexico border. Guardsmen found dead on border from apparent self-inflicted gunshot. This near Eagle Pass yesterday, died on duty from apparently suicide. Another one of the soldiers there serving in Operation Lone Star. Cartel-connected smugglers get lengthy prison sentences for kidnapping in Texas. Luisa Moreno at Breitbart reporting that two of them got pretty long prison sentences, a 27-year-old and 29-year-old. U.S. border arrests of migrants with criminal history up 350% since 2020, Randy Clark reports from data from sources from the CBP, Customs and Border Protection. Think about that. It's a lot of people. It rose from 2,438 in 2020 to 10,778. Just think about all those gotaways, how many criminals are coming across. And then the Center Square and a lot of other people writing about Abbott's comment that the president sending National Guard to the border is hypocritical. And it is. He's getting a little pressure, so they're going to put some more show pieces down there. Because, again, the National Guard, they don't do anything. The Texas deal doesn't do anything. We don't do a darn thing to stop people from crossing, and neither are the ones that the president sends down there. But Abbott said it's hypocritical on the one end for the president and his staff to criticize me for having to deploy the National Guard to respond to his open border policies. Now for them only to begin to deploy other states' National Guards is deeply hypocritical. It's also hypocritical, the governor continued, for other Democratic leaders to criticize me for helping out our local communities by busing out migrants to sanctuary cities like D.C., Washington, New York City, and Chicago, and then Biden and his administration moving migrants themselves in the middle of the night, which is what I've told you. The feds have been doing this for a very long time. What we're doing, the governor said, is really nothing different than what the Biden administration's doing. Right. That's exactly right. There is a really good piece in the brand new issue of the Buffalo Gap Roundup News by Joseph Vargas of San Antonio. Marxism on our southern border gives you a little glimpse into what's happening with the Mexican president, AMLO, who is a member of the Sao Paulo Forum, which is a leftist, outright Marxist organization. It's a very good piece. It's in the brand new issue of the Buffalo Gap Roundup News, the October issue. And by the way, thank you, Larry Don. My piece on the elections on the front page of the four sections. That was very nice of you. And I recommend this piece by Joseph Vargas, Marxism on Our Southern Border, because there's more in my stack that goes along with it I'll get to in coming days. Thanks for joining us, my friends. Long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God continue to bless us all. Adios, mis amigos.
Hear all the great Texas music Pride on Texas is famous for by listening to the show on the air or by stream. 5 to 6 p.m. Central in Lubbock. Tune to 98.7 FM or 1420 AM on KWBF. In Abilene and the Big Country, tune to 96.1 FM Q Country.